What's up, my jujitsu? If you're just tapping in, it is us. We are back. It's me, Jason Matlock, and
DJ. You know, I want to introduce y'all to my brother, my rival, my best friend, Archie.
Archie, thanks for coming on. Archie, you know what? Let's just jump right in. Since I don't know you, why don't you tell me your origin story? What got you starting jujitsu and why are you doing this?
Well, it's kind of very anticlimactic. I was just bored at the time, and our other best friend, Steve, just hit me up one day and said, hey, you want to come train? And I had nothing better to do, and I'm like, sure. And I didn't even know if he meant jiu-jitsu or the gym, because his girlfriend, now wife, I knew she did it because of her family. And I was like, okay, does he mean go to the gym and work out, or does he mean, let's go train? I ended up wearing these weird pajamas and fell in love with it right away.
How bad were those first classes, man?
Oh, man. I think jiu-jitsu is one of the most humbling sports.
Oh yeah,
that's what they say. I don't know. You know, I feel like, you know, some little evil people over here got some big egos, wrist locking people and shit.
No. I'm on board with that too.
We're brothers.
I love wrist locks.
You know, when do you think we should start wrist locking people? Like when they start training? How soon after their first day and like age?
So I used to give to a blue belt, but recently, depends on the white belts. Not all white belts are
born. Okay.
So some of them, it's just like sometimes it feels a disturbance, because sometimes I'll be in side control on them, and they're like putting their wrists like right against my body, and I'm like, I do a disservice because I used to wait until blue belt to start getting them on that. I'm like, no, it's a disservice if I don't get this with them now.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So,
I get it.
Yeah. So they got to learn real quick, or because I'm like, that's an obvious, that's a quick wrist lock. Boom. I just go under their elbow, put my body weight down, they're detached immediately.
You know, it's
that's something they need to stop.
It's funny you bring that up. I think it's funny you bring that up, because when I was first got promoted to blue belt, the first black belt I rode, he was like, he got me with a wrist lock right away. He was like, now I baptize you. I guess I get it a little bit.
Yeah,
man. I don't know. So I think last episode we were talking about it. I told him don't ever put your eyes, like, because I guess it was their advice for like newer like lower belts.
Yeah.
I told him like, don't ever put your hands flat on a fat guy. And that's you know, that's all it is, bro.
Exactly.
Well, Archie, if you don't have anything, I'll give you time to think, and I'll circle back at the end of the episode. But we do this thing where we do positivity. We like to get high on positivity. So I just wanted to see if there's any positive notes you have you want to share with everyone this week, or maybe we can wait to the end.
We did Steve and Lissa last week.
Oh, you guys already know?
Yeah.
Okay. You can circle back, though. It don't matter.
Let's do that later. See, those two are easy.
Huh?
Those two are easy. They just had a kid.
Yeah, it's super easy. All right, then we'll circle back. I'll cut this part and we'll do it. So we'll keep going.
Yeah. Hey, so real quick, Archie, you're a lot more versed in competition than I am. You know, I'm a lazy fuck. How many competitions have you done? And, like, do you have advice? Because this is something that we kind of have to throw out to everybody when they come on the show, especially if they compete often.
Yeah. Advice for competition? Honestly, just go out there and do it.
No, just dive in?
Just dive and go.
That's what I say.
I get jitters. I think everyone gets jitters. That's normal. You're not going to get away from that unless you're like really, really experienced in competition, but I still get them. But yeah, I think just do it. Just like, you know, start with like a smaller competition. You know, like a Naga or a Grappling Industries. Those aren't that big, you know, they're not that big. Get comfortable with it. You lose, who cares? Try some things, you know. But at that point, just do them, and then get that experience with the smaller competitions. And then if you want to do a big one, an ADCC or an IBJJF or, you know, one of these bigger tournaments, just go into that one, and you'll have a little bit more experience with the smaller tournaments already.
Okay.
You should go in. I mean, I still get jitters. I have this thing where I don't really get nervous till the day of. And then the butterflies start coming in, and yeah, it's such a weird blur. The whole day is a blur, and then all of a sudden you're like walking up to like to the ref, and it's like, oh shit, this is happening now.
It's funny because last year I remember I wanted to make his I wanted to go down to Vegas to see Archie compete.
Yeah.
And that was Jiu-Jitsu Con, your last tournament before you started doing Masters. Old bastard. I just wanted to live vicariously through him because I've always wanted to do an IBJJF like we talked about, but I've never like just hopped in and done it. Like I've never. I lived in Vegas, bro, and I didn't even do it.
Okay. I don't blame you. Like, I had no aspirations to ever do IBJJF Worlds. When I first started, competitions were just to, like, get past my own fears and just be comfortable in those uncomfortable situations as real as possible, right? But now I see, like, you kind of have to do it if you want a little bit of notoriety. And I want to see how good I am. That's really what it comes down to.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I mean, my professor, he always says, should compete at least once per belt. Just two.
Even if
you're not a competitor.
Don't you have one? Don't you have some coming up this summer?
Yeah, I got a. It'll be late summer. It'll be Masters Worlds.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we should be out there. Yeah.
You guys will be out there too?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know about DJ, but.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be back from Japan, huh?
Yeah. That and surgery right after when I come back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I probably won't be out there, but I'll try and watch it.
Yeah.
You hope you see the same guy from last year?
I probably won't see that guy because he was only 19 years old, so he ain't gonna be a Masters.
I forgot he was one of those, dude.
Yeah.
He pulled up with the blonde hair and the fresh 19-year-old. Like he was one of those I've been training since I was six type dudes, and then he turned up to be 6'6".
No, he was this 19-year-old freaking Brazilian, just good.
So did you do the adult division or like?
Jiu-Jitsu Con last year.
Wait, how old are you?
I just turned 30.
You're turning. So I'm just wondering, how did a 30-year-old compete against a 19-year-old? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It was adult. So Jiu-Jitsu Con is just one division.
Okay.
It's not Masters Worlds. It's just like it's a separate tournament in the same area.
Okay. Copy.
So you have to be 30 plus to be a Masters. So this is more like for the adults, the division and stuff.
Okay. So you couldn't do Jiu-Jitsu Con if you're over 30.
You can. There were, like, I think the guy I beat was like 35. Anyone can do that one. A lot of people use it to warm up for Masters Worlds.
Okay.
That's crazy. I want to use a tournament the day before.
I don't warm up.
Yeah. I thought about it, and then I was like, nah.
That's crazy.
Go ahead.
I thought about doing Jiu-Jitsu Con this year and Masters Worlds. But
nah, you're about to run into them TRT tours, bro. That's what they say about, like, whenever you're in the adult league, everyone's just kind of young and athletic, and you're in the world of the, I've been taking TRT for 6 months, and I got a new.
Yeah. I feel like I ran into a couple of guys like that already. There's one guy, I just remember, it didn't matter what I did. I just felt like I was just hitting a brick wall. And I gave him everything I had as far as like strength goes, and that doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Nah. And then honestly, bro, like no bullshit aside, that's the strongest person I've ever met through college sports, through jiu-jitsu. I'm pretty sure the last time we went against each other in the match we were talking about, mm-hmm. there was a point where I was kind of inside control. And he like bench pressed me off, so I went to neon belly. But I went at that like so. Me and him were in agreement. Like when we turn 35, that's when I'm gonna get on TRT. Mm-hmm. Because if he's on TRT, I gotta be on TRT. Yeah,
like I'm gonna get checked first. Like, but if like my testosterone's a little low, I'm like, why can't I have the testosterone that an 18-year-old has?
So are you? You're just doing it just as you age. You're not trying to do it to get an advantage over the competition, no, or what's? No,
just I want to do it legit. Go get checked by the doctor, see if because at 30 your testosterone naturally decreases.
Okay. Yeah.
So because I've heard a lot of my friends have gotten on it and they're not overdoing it or anything, but they say it helps recovery, losing weight, everything. So it's just to me that's a health bonus. And then I listen to Rogan; he talks highly of it.
Yeah.
The day you start, I'm going full Vitor Belfort 2008.
Man, if y'all start doing steroids, I might have to rethink my claws too.
Nah, it's just him, dude. The day he starts.
But if he started and then you start, then I gotta start, is what I'm trying to say.
Hey, then all three of us can gang up on Steve. The thing is Steve's game, I don't think he would need to, dude. Steve's game is perfectly tailored to just beat someone who thinks they're like whose main thing is strength. Mm. He'll have you folded up in your fucking lapel so quick. And mind you, I've only rolled with my brother less than 5 times.
Okay.
But
yeah, no, Steve's a monster.
Then it sounds like I want to know Steve's game because
you're gonna get wrapped in your own gi. Yeah. That's what he does. He wraps you in your own gi. I've had my arm up here and like lapel this way across my face. It's very uncomfortable.
Steve's always done this thing to where he picks the most unorthodox way. Like he picks Ross like you know how I'm always like, bro, I hate how Ross does that.
Yeah.
Steve, everything. Video games, football, everything.
Okay.
But he's always been that guy. So you can't even be mad at it.
So let me, I know you guys, you may have said this, but I want to hear from you. How did you guys click up? How'd you guys become brothers?
Just high school football, same locker room. Like me and Steve had happened to be on the same side as all the incoming sophomores when we were going to be going into being juniors. And Devontae just had his locker right next to Steve, right? Because Goosey's was not next to mine.
I was on the other side of Goosey.
Yeah.
So it was you, Goosey, and me.
Yeah, and Steve was right next to you.
Yeah.
But we just kind of, you know, linked up. We're all linemen. We just became friends, and this dude used to not talk at all. Now we can't shut him up.
hey, relax.
Old lineman. Okay. Protecting the quarterback. Yeah.
Nah, it's funny, dude. Get this picture, right? So all of us are close to the same size outside of Goosey. Goosey's short, but he's still a stocky dude. It was me, Archie, Joe, Steve, all 250 plus in high school, right? And then Victor, Nelson, and Goosey all crammed into a Mustang, and that's how we got around town.
Thankfully, it was a convertible. We literally had a guy sitting on top of the back.
We used to mob to games like that, bonfires like that, parties like everything. I respect it.
Oh, man, I'm jealous now.
Nah, dude, that's that country boy life.
That's what I was going to say. That's some real country bumpkin stuff, you know, but I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, and then Goosey's over there freaking shotgun. He's one of the smallest ones.
That's how it goes. The smallest guy always gets the shotgun.
No, fuck no. Get your little ass in the bag, dude.
Me and Devontae are the next biggest guys. We one of us should have been shotgun.
So how did it work when the ladies pulled up? Like, where did the ladies ride?
I don't know if he knew this. We didn't get ladies back then, brother. Ironically enough, the only one was Steve. Yeah. Steve was the only one who got ladies back then, and then if I had a lady, I didn't bring her around.
Okay.
Hell no. So they could roast me? Nah.
I know how that is, yeah. Now, me and my friends in high school, we had a rule that, like, if the dicks outnumber the chicks, the girl gets the front seat. So that was like, so there was no arguing over, because you know there's always arguing over shotgun, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who gets shotgun? We're like, hey, is there more dudes than girls? Nah, girl gets front seat.
So we would do that. Like, if Steve's girl came, like, we'd give her the front seat, and then we'd fight over who got the windows.
Exactly.
But you heard about all them fat bastards in that Mustang, dude. She didn't want to come that often.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. No, but also, you know, the other thing too, like, just the from a woman's perspective, just being crammed in the back with dudes, especially if, like, she don't really know them, you know?
And they kind of funky.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
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 And
what's your funk level like? You stay funky or you stay fresh?
Fresh.
Put him on the spot.
He said, stop fucking playing with me, bro.
My job and everything.
No.
Constant showers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, what do you do?
I work at a wastewater plant. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about funk? Yeah. I've smelled every funk in the world there.
Yeah. You got to shower after that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I don't touch anything. I get in my house, freaking straight to the shower. And, yeah.
Have you ever rolled with someone whose smell rivals your job?
Oh, God. Yes, it's not often because we have pretty good hygiene at my gym, but every now and again you'll get that one dude. It's like, dude, wash it.
Call him out, dude. Call him out. Call him by first and last name.
You don't even train there anymore. You don't even train there no more.
Even better, dude. Throw a social security number out there, bro.
Yeah.
Shit, dude. So you have your first Masters coming in. Are you worried about it? Are you nervous about it? Do you have a game plan?
I don't usually get nervous till the day of, so I'm kind of nervous, but I'm also kind of excited for it.
Yeah, you're the fresh meat again, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm excited to see what that level's going to be like on the Masters Worlds and see what kind of those tier 3-4 people are going to be like.
I can imagine it's about to get not to insult anyone, but I can imagine the game's about to get a little slower and methodical. Like, just like.
Yeah. So, we just have this guy visiting. I think he's going to start training at our gym, actually, because he just moved to the area. This big old Viking looking dude. And 2 years ago, he took second in Masters Worlds.
Mm.
And when I rolled against him, like, he was solid. Like, he was. I wouldn't say kicked my ass, but he worked me pretty good.
Yeah,
okay. But it was at a level, to me, it was a little refreshing because I was like, okay, he's good, but it's a level I can reach, I can get to. I'm not that far from that level.
And it's the skill set that matches.
Yes. And he pretty much told me, he's like, no, you're going to do good. You're going to do good. So it gave me a little bit of relief knowing that. So I'm like, I need to roll with that guy a little bit more.
Go ahead. I'll say, so, like, when you're approaching competition, for myself, I have somewhat of a game plan. I always, my theory is defense until offense for the most part. But it's always to try and attack and be aggressive and dominant in the standing game so I'm not taken down. And then from there, I game plan on a fly type deal. Do you have a typical game plan that you follow when you go into tournaments or anything you study, like, leading up to it to help prepare you for your matches?
So it's the same game plan I've had since probably blue belt, and I've just improved it, honed it in, and basically it's just a beat down.
He's the one punch a thousand times guy.
Yeah, I get on top of you. I'm going to wear you down, wear your limbs down. I mean, if you're holding me up with your arms. Good. I'm just going to sit there and leave my weight on you until you those arms get tired.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to beat you down. I'm going to wear you out. Neon belly, mount, side control. I'm just going to switch between that. And I'm going to eventually try and set up a bread cutter, which is my signature submission. Like, okay. That's just, I get under you and just, it's sneaky. And I do it in a sneaky way, so.
As much as I hate to say it, dude. Whenever I get tired, the bread cutter comes out, dude. Because that shit is quick. It's quick
and
easy.
I'm not allowed to use it anymore at my gym.
Why not?
One of our black belts is not allowed to use it. It's like, I can't use it no more.
Because he gets it off on everybody, bro.
Yeah.
everybody. Belt doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. Weight doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Are you a child? You can catch this bread cutter, too. Man.
You're savage, bro.
And I love teaching it, too, because people are like, oh, yeah, I want to check out this one. They're like, oh, man. I'm like, yeah, it's a good submission.
Yeah.
And then it's cool because I've done so much that most people that I train with,
they know.
They know how to work it. They stop it, but not stop it. I still it allows me ways to find out how to improve on it. So,
yeah.
Sneakier ways to put it in.
I like it. It's actually one that I'm incorporating into my game. I do a lot of Bravo control from top half guard, like setting up in top half guard. Oh, yeah. And I find that a lot of times when they're focused on me setting that up from top half guard, I can low-key set up the bread cutter choke either from top half guard or as I'm passing, and I'm able to, like, execute in that motion. So
Yeah. And I like setting him still from that position too, that half guard, like Bravo type of position.
I was just gonna say that I kind of treat it like a clock choke. I'll get that cutting motion, and instead of reaching down, I'll pin at the pants and kind of like walk towards the neck. That's my favorite way to finish it. I don't like the under grip for whatever
reason. So that under grip is so you have so much control from that. You just hold them down, and they don't go. You're not going anywhere. You have to have that arm trapped, because you have that arm trapped, you're eliminating one of their arms. And then also, if you can lift them up kind of over your knee, and there's an arm bar right there. There's an arm bar right there.
I see it. I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're not really going. You have an arm, and you have their whole front half of their body, and like just hold that down, and just and then I'll just put my weight on them and just smash the hell out of that position.
I like it.
It's funny because you two try and do something similar to me, and it's that fucking lockdown from half guard.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it so much, bro. But you guys should definitely talk on that shit.
Oh.
I love it.
So did you start with the lockdown when you first started jiu-jitsu? How'd you pick it up?
So as a white belt, I had just like, I was always ending up in half guard, and I have really freaking strong legs.
Okay.
So I would end up in half guard, and I would just like never let it go. Because you know, you're a white belt, and you're just like, I don't want to let anything go because I'm going to get destroyed. But I wouldn't know what the hell to do from it. Okay. So I would just keep it, and eventually I would start to learn how to play a half guard game, do set up sweeps, stuff from there. So, and I just learned, like, I like to react my faces. So when I'm doing something on the lockdown, I see their face like that, like their eyes widen, just like grins their teeth. I love that. And I know, like, okay, that's causing pain.
Or sorry, not to cut you off, but like when you know you're going to get something and they try as hard as they could, you hear that oof, and you hit them with something, and you know you just shut it completely down. That makes me happy.
Like their leg just gets stuck there and they're just in pain, and I've tapped people. I've done calf slices off of it and stuff.
Okay. Deadly with it. Okay.
So it's basically just wear down, and then I'll, like when they're like trying to put their weight on top of me more, I'll just like get the lockdown, and I'll just pull them all the way back down with my legs.
Yep, that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
I almost bait the lockdown, if that makes sense. So I cross my leg over, whichever is the dominant lockdown leg, I'll cross it over and I'll just let it sit there. I won't lock it down. It'll just kind of sit by their butt, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I'll wait until they start trying to isolate the arm and start smashing me. And the second they go to like lock in the like Americana grip, I'll whip it and I'll whip them out and I'll get my underhook. It's like, all right, well, here we are now, guys. That's what you get.
And I'm the dickhead for liking wrist locks. I ain't gonna hold you, dude. You're a dickhead because you're a dickhead.
are you saying it because it locks the knee in place that I'm a dickhead for wanting to do that? Because I'm just protecting myself.
Because so he, I don't know if you heard him, but he says he tries to calf slicer people from that position.
Oh yeah,
that's why I'm like, and I'm the dickhead for
wrist lock. So I don't try to calf slicer people. I guess if it happens, it happens. If you don't know how to play the lockdown, you can't pull your foot out. It's not my fault.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. Like, I do, but I don't purposely try and calf slicer because in more experienced grapplers, they know how to get out. They know how to deal with it. But certain people that just like. Why are you just letting me do this to you? Like, try and get out of it. Try and wiggle your leg out a little bit. They just sit there and they don't know what to do. And then, tap.
I don't understand how purple belts and like competitive blue belts don't understand it. Because it's the reason why I say this because when I'll go against them, I'm just like, you don't understand this? Like, this is so simple. You just kick your foot to your butt. Like, that's all you do. Like,
yeah. And I get that too. And I have those ones that they do that they don't let me get a lockdown. I'm like, and it's frustrating. You're old. I'm like,
yes.
You'll never get a lockdown on me again, dog. last time he got me, I had like a pain in my calf for like a month.
Do you work any other game with your half guard? Because now I'm trying to do like a lot of hook sweeps and stuff.
I've been doing that one too, going into half butterfly, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I've been working with it more, trying to get into butterfly sweeps, different sweeps. Because sometimes I'll bring one leg out with one of my legs, lock it down with one leg, and then I bring my other leg in for a butterfly and try and hook us do a sweep from there. Or go to an open guard or... Just switch between it. Depends what they're giving me.
Fuck open guard.
Oh, this fucking guy.
It just depends.
it's... I'm not even going to lie, dude. My open guard has never been, like, the greatest. But, like, you say fuck open guard. Me and Archie say fuck open guard because we have... Not only is open guard hard, we have the weight of the, mm-hmm. the job of controlling our own weight and shifting our body.
Mm-hmm. I just personally feel that open guard puts your... limbs and your knee joints at a big disadvantage. That's really what it is. And a lot of it is, so if you're looking at like practicality as far as like, at least at my size, right? And I have a lot of bad knees, so that's why I'm hyper like fuck open guard. But like getting stacked or you get your leg tweaked out or pulled out, I can't tell you how many times just my fucking meniscus is like, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in comps, that's why there's a weight. That's definitely why there's weight divisions. Because I will say, like, under a certain weight, or if like someone doesn't have a certain amount of strength, they can play open guard all they want. They're not going to have the strength to push someone in the ultra heavies off of them.
Yeah,
because they're still fighting forward. You know.
Yeah.
So that's just the way I see it. But
yeah,
I do like open guard. Just trash at it.
Well, like, I don't like using it against fast people because they just blow right past it. Mm-hmm. And that's another one of the reasons I like half guard because I could just, as a fast person, I just lock them down.
Exactly. Unless
they stop their movement.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like, honestly, so as white belt, I was always trying to get to. One of my very first coaches, he leading up to a tournament, he was like, if your close guard is open, if you can't hold close guard, just move to half guard. So that concept went carried out through to me when I went down to Brazil. When I was in Brazil, I just remember that I could not get back to close guard. And I could I just kept getting trapped in half guard. I was like, well, I guess I gotta study this now. And so I just kept studying half guard, and then it was like, well, this is my game now. Lockdown half guard. Let's do it.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Are you doing gi or no gi in Worlds?
Oh, gi. I'm not doing
Do you not? Do you partake in no gi at all, or you only do gi?
I'll train no gi. You know, like there's some because we have people at our gym that only like no gi, so I like to go against them no gi. But I prefer gi more than anything. Again, I'm slow. I like to be able to control someone's speed down with my grips and everything.
From a
no-gi, it just once it gets sweaty, they're just walking all over you, and it's like,
yeah. No, I agree. I was gonna say, from a martial arts standpoint, how do you look at people who specifically only train no-gi? Do you think it's important to train both gi and no-gi?
I think both are important. Like, because whatever you can do in no gi, you're going to be able to do in gi. And then the no gi, I mean, gi gives you a lot more with the techniques, you know? Mm-hmm. Gi gives you, I think it's more technique oriented, so it's going to help with your technique more. Because a lot of no gi, I mean, all of those guys, they just go off of pure athleticism. Yeah. They're just athletes. Mm-hmm. So they just use their athleticism to, you know. So if you can learn all the technique with gi, I think that's going to transfer really well and make you even more deadly or no gi. And vice versa, I think they're going to help each other. Like I said, I don't not train no gi, but I just prefer gi.
Copy.
You know what makes me mad about that debate, the debate between gi and no gi?
What?
Because Archie's right. They're synonymous. Like, they need each other. But people who use the excuse of, like, oh, they're not going to have a gi in the streets, like, they don't have shirts, they don't have jackets.
They're not close. You know? Close.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are walking around in spandex and tight shorts? Like,
I mean,
we're in California. Okay, yeah.
I get that, like, on the beach or something, you know, but, like,
I haven't seen a dude yet. Today, but I've definitely seen at least three women in bodysuits today, just walking down the street.
Yeah, and then even then, dude, I live like in Hollywood area. I see a lot of those fucking weirdos, dude. There's dudes in bodysuits out there too.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said I haven't seen one today.
I'd say no gi is probably better when you're getting ready for MMA and MMA fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, like streets, you're gonna have close to choke people out or control or whatever you need for them.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for people. So Archie, one of Archie's training partners, my boy Ben, dude. Last time I was down there, Ben fucked me up. I'm not even gonna lie, dude. we had two roles. The first one, I kind of pressured him a bit. The second one, he fucked my arm up. What is that submission, dude?
It was a bicep slicer, wasn't it?
It was a bicep slicer, but the way he did it with his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Ben's really good at setting up traps.
Okay.
So it was one of those where he's like passing his guard, but his arm's still stuck between the leg, and he just pulls it in and gets a bicep slicer.
I was using his belt to stack him, and he fucking bicep slicing me like that. My arm wasn't right for like a month, dude. For like a month. Between Archie fucking my calf up with the lockdown and Ben fucking my arm up, I just felt like an idiot.
Is it the same arm, this one right here?
No, he got me with my right arm because I had him. I was trying to stack.
I was gonna say he probably damaged you a little bit. That's why you got injured. So I was gonna say you could.
No, dude, I straight up stabbed myself on accident. you know what it was. But
no, I know. I'm just trying to help. You know, I'm trying to help. That's all.
Doug. I ain't in the line. I don't want nobody to be like, oh, Ben did it. Nah, dude, Ben didn't do it. Ben did it, but he didn't do it. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like just going from that gym, it's refreshing whenever I go home, bro, because I forget that as I'm working, they're working, you know? And the first time I seen Ben roll, I was like, Ben's cool, like, but I'm not like he's not gonna destroy me like that. 4 years later, dude. 4 years later, I'll never underestimate Ben.
How big is Ben?
About your size, maybe a little taller. Okay. Okay. Maybe a little shorter, give or take.
Okay. Yeah, he's like 215 around that one. Okay. Maybe I think he's like 5'10" or something.
Okay, yeah, we're literally right about the same. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are like the same size, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ben has a smooth ass game, bro. Smooth ass game.
Oh, yeah.
And last time I was there down at like Three Crosses in New Mexico, it was cool because a lot of the people I recognize and most of them I just never got to roll with, It was a long day, dude. It was a long fucking day. I'll say that much.
He didn't roll with Diego either.
He wasn't there.
No, he was there.
Oh, he was coaching.
So I have to ask this: How do you plan on submitting me when I come out there?
He already told you the bread cutter.
Now, he didn't tell me. Like you said, that's his favorite. I just want to know what I expect, so I can put my defenses up. All right. I'm gonna defend the wrist.
Old fashioned Kimura.
That is my weakness, the Kimura. Motherfucker, I do leave my arm out there a lot.
I don't know what it is, dude. I just don't like fat boy shit. I don't like it. Like everyone tells me, like you should use a Kimura more. Whenever I have to use a Kimura, I'm always kind of disappointed.
So
have you ever gone from a Kimura to a head scissors?
I have. I actually submitted someone in a tournament with it. It's my favorite. Oh, yes. Awesome. Yeah. I'll show you the video. I'll clip it together and put it in the group chat.
Dude, I can't even imagine being caught in a head scissors while you do this. This motherfucker senior year of high school is squatting like 500.
That's well, a lot. The reason I never went higher is because my back was messed up.
Yeah, and like when I say squatting, like he refused to go up. Like, he's like, my back hurts. But, like, he was able to do it multiple times.
Dang, okay. So, you just power ripping. You still lift heavy bit like that now or not?
I don't lift that often.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably need to now that I'm in my 30s start powerlifting. Or not powerlifting, just lifting heavy again just to build the strength. But, yeah.
Dude, strength and augs lifts, bro. Or body cal.
Calisthenics.
Just body weight workouts.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'll work out here at my house. I have a bench press and stuff, and I'll just do stuff with the weights I have.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm seeing the inside of your house too.
I do like that little lion tapestry in the back. You know, that's.
Oh yeah, that's my game. You know, that's from an old game I used to play.
Okay.
What game?
I was just about to ask you what games you on.
World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was from. I haven't played that game in 4 years, but yeah.
Archie's an OG gamer.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's for all you kids out there who don't know that World of Warcraft is called WoW. Cheesy-ass jokes.
Hey, that's another thing. Me and Archie used to be at his house like that South Park episode of World of Warcraft is gaming for hours.
I was a Halo. We were Halo kids. We weren't. Like, my homie, I had a homie. Oh, shit. I got to call him back. Oops. You know how you like phone tag with somebody? You're like, oh yeah, I'll call you back, and you forget 3 days later.
Yeah.
Well, it's been like a week, but I made him back. Shout out Joey. But no, he played WoW, and my dad played WoW, and then I just never really got into it because you had to pay for it, and I didn't believe in paying for games. I still kind of don't.
Yeah.
Like no, I believe in like buying one game one time. I'll pay my. Motherfuckers are up to $80 now, but I'll pay my $80 and like I'll play it and then I'll play it. I'll take like 3 years to beat it and then I'll beat it in 3 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
I still.
There ain't no beating that game. It's a continuous, so like, yeah.
I've never even touched World of Warcraft at all.
It's cool. It's cool.
Mm-mm.
You get hordes and stuff. Like you get clicks, y'all ride out to guilds and y'all just.
Well, you get what? Like,
think of it, you get hordes.
Okay,
not whores.
Yeah, I thought you said you get whores. I was like, is that what you're paying for?
This ain't Grand Theft Auto, bro.
I'm not honestly the popularity that Grand Theft Auto got was not worth it to me. I did not think that game was as good as everyone else did.
Back me up on this, man.
It's a good game.
Thank you.
Well, they're good games. It's a good franchise.
It's a good franchise, but the last one, I didn't think it was even close to the best one.
Why not?
I didn't like, so I play games for stories. I didn't like the story.
Mm, okay.
Like the story was okay, but I thought there were better stories.
I will say that. Go ahead, Archie.
I just feel it got too much with the online stuff. So it just, that was designed. Either you have to grind hours to get something you like cool, or you have to pay money. And
yeah.
It just became like a money, like it was obviously just for money at that point.
Mm, that's what games are now, Fortnite fucked it all up.
Fortnite did fuck. Do you play Fortnite?
I played when it first came out, like around season 3, few seasons, and then I just, stopped. We went to Apex, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hold the team back. They would have got so many more wins if it wasn't for me.
I'm gonna vote, come back to Fortnite, come join us.
Like, it looks cooler now, but I just got tired with the building stuff. I was just like, okay. I got tired of shooting somebody, and there was a 10-story building with 2-3 swimming pools and 4 parking garages.
Yo, everyone tells me this, right? Play no build.
That's what everyone. One of my buddies told me about that one. The no build's like, it's so much better.
It is. So.
Yeah.
Nah. I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at shooters that it's not even. The only shooter I'm good at is Overwatch.
I've never played Overwatch.
I played it when it first came out.
And then even then, I have to be a healer or a tank. If I'm like a DPS, trash.
Okay.
Trash.
What game are you hype about right now? Are you on Elden Ring like everyone else?
Well, I just recently got frustrated with Elden Ring, so I'm taking another break from that game.
Get good.
But, yeah, it's hard to get good. let's see. I've been playing Baldur's Gate a little bit, and then I've been playing, Ghost of Tsushima again.
Okay.
Which is a really good game.
Ghost of Tsushima is a good game.
Everyone's telling me to play that game.
That shit's free right now.
Shout out PlayStation Network.
Shit, dude. Hey, so real quick, we haven't done this in a while. Based off of you in jiu-jitsu, who is your anime equivalent?
Oh, shit, wait, you watch anime? I didn't know that.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's a Dragon Ball Z poster right there and one right over here, and you can see all these mangoes in right here and...
Dope. That's what's up. You see, I got the little paintings down here.
Yeah. But shit. You know, it's weird, and it's. I think it's just because it was more recent. But one character I feel like I link with a lot is Kaido from One Piece.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I feel it.
And because he's a villain, but it's like he's like a strange villain. Like he cares about like his people, the people under him, but he's also freaking still evil as shit. But like just so the way he goes about things, like
yeah, I'm not familiar with him. Tell me about him.
Well, he's just this big dude. He turns into a freaking dragon.
Okay.
And he's like this giant, like kind of oni, like demonic looking guy. And yeah, basically he walks up. Any interesting looking fight, he takes it, fights him, beats him up, goes to the next one, and just he enjoys it the entire time.
Okay.
And this goes into two levels because they both like to drink.
Yeah, he's over there drinking. I'm like, yep, that's one of my anime.
My boy,
what's your drink of choice? I'm a tequila guy.
Oh man, I've been on a margarita kick lately.
So tequila.
Tequila. I love tequila, yeah. And then I like my Jack and Coke.
Okay.
Anyone who Archie offers to make a drink for, if you accept it, just know you did it to yourself.
Just let me.
Oh, hey, can you pass me this cup? Real quick, I just wanted to... So, are you... Where do you stop? Where do you stop on alcohol? Like, where does it stop?
Not right there. No, I'm just kidding.
the rest is coming. I can respect it.
I kind of do 50-50 ratios.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not 50-50 because I'm already drunk and I'm just pouring. I'm just like, oh, crap.
More like 75-25.
Was that Coke or Crown? Close enough. throw some more Crown in there in case it was Coke. Oh man!
No, last time I had Steve over. Well, no, two times ago I had Steve over. I made him a drink, and he had to call him to work the next day.
One drink.
Steve has an important job for you to be getting him drunk like that.
Jiu-jitsu, right?
No, Steve. Steve's a mortician.
Oh, is that?
I don't think I said it last time.
I don't want to hate, but is that an important job? Like, kind of. Already dead. They already dead.
He's helping setting up people's family's funerals, you know?
So I was just low-key listening to this thing about how funerals are scams. And they're just taking your money. And, like, the people are already dead. And they embalm you for no reason. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Look, dude. I don't know nothing about that field of work. I just know I couldn't fucking do it, dude. From what Steve's told me.
No.
Well, bro, whenever I like stabbed my arm and I was able to like look inside my arm, mm-hmm. shit was disgusting. I would never do it again.
Those weird dudes who like sleep with bodies and stuff, those necrophiliac dudes, I don't get it. Like, I can't, it doesn't compute in my brain.
You know, well.
Have you guys ever seen a dead body?
Yes.
Well, yeah, funerals and stuff.
I worked in a hospital whenever I came back from college, I worked at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the hospital cleaning rooms, and I used to have to help transport them.
Oh, shit.
So I used to have to like pick them up in the bag, zip them up, put them on the next like gurney, and then wheel them out.
Any like ghosts or anything crazy happening?
I have a story that made me believe in ghosts, but it was not at the hospital.
Let me hear.
I was a dishwasher at La Posta, and Old Mesilla in our hometown. It's known to be haunted, but I was a closer. I got locked in the fucking freezer, dude. But the freezer is heavy as shit. Like, it doesn't just close. It didn't just close. You had to, like, close it. So I'm in there. The lights are on and everything. And simultaneously, the door shuts. The lights go off. And I'm in there, like, screaming to get out, screaming to get out. And it was only me and three other people. Luckily, one of the other people was Goozy. And he came looking for me. Mm. And I was like, bro, who shut the door? He's like, we were in the other rooms. La Posta is a huge place.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, we were on the other side. He's like, I just came looking for you because we were locking.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And I'm convinced. And, like, the thing is like, that motherfucker, like, so when you opened it, it didn't move. I had worked there for 6 months. It was like that every day, mm-hmm. every day. And then one day, and then the door's here. The light switch is, like, over here. So you have to shut the door, open the door, and walk to the light switch.
Yeah.
They close at the same time. And I have not been there. I have not eaten there, and I will not be back. I was told I wasn't. I was that. I took that as I'm not welcome there no more.
Okay. So I don't have anything that crazy. The closest thing I have is I was doing grip and electric work at this abandoned psychiatric hospital out here in LA. I think it's called Linda Vista Hospital.
I know where that is.
And I'm up on like the fourth floor by myself running cable and shit. And, I'm literally by myself on it. Like, and it's like, there are no lights in here. It's just me running this cable by myself. And I'm just walking down this long ass dark hallway. And then all these thoughts start coming in my head. I was like, man, I'm just ready to run. I'm ready the second I hear something. And then like almost like out of nowhere, it's simple. It's like just a little number on it because it's the props. They put a number on the door and it's like sticky putty, right? But as I'm walking past, that motherfucker falls down. I was like, nope, we out of here. I don't care. I don't care what it is.
Did you ever go in with Joe to that? Remember when they lived in that that house kind of by Mayfield? It was kind of like to like the left of it. It was like early high school. It was like late high school. You guys are graduated.
Was it that land with the big old piece of land?
In the backyard, yeah.
We did paintball and shit sometimes.
Yeah. Did you ever go into that house with Joe?
Me, Steve, Joe, and I think it was Josiah all went in together once.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at. I fucking refused. You guys told me to come over, and I was like, you guys are smoking dicks if you think I'm going into that house.
Yeah, that house was crazy.
The last 7 minutes, like, I have not been recording his... That's fine. We'll just say we did a camera cutout.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Whatever you said for about the last 7 minutes will not be on camera. I'm sorry, man.
Oh.
So, Kaido.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the house. My apologies.
But yeah, like that house, that shit happened after the La Posta situation and I refused to go in.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't haunted, it was just weird. Like there was like a box of like for like Coke and it had the Grinch on it. Like the old who was it that did the Grinch? The live action Grinch.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. So I'm like, so this one was like abandoned like the early 2000s at least.
Okay.
But yeah.
The black guy doesn't die in this movie.
Because there's a little garage in the back. It has an Oldsmobile back there. Like a classic car.
Oh, word?
Sitting there.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm going to go get the car. I'll go.
Yeah. Okay. So no ghost stories for you? You don't believe in ghosts?
I do believe in spirits. I have one. Basically, I was asleep one day in my house, and I just hear something down the hallway going up and down, like a kind of wailing sound. And I couldn't move like or anything. It was creepy.
At your new house?
No. This is before.
Oh, I was about to get out.
That was the only thing that ever happened at my house back then. And it wasn't my parents or anything. Oh, yeah, and before that, my door slammed open.
Okay.
It was weird. And then I had my dog with me at the time. And I'm, like, trying to kick her, like, hey, do something. And she didn't react to it, so that's why I didn't really get that scared. But I was, like, kind of just...
I'm not going to lie, bro. Your mom and dad's house, there is a specific area that used to creep me the fuck out. Yeah. The sunroom.
I've always felt like I was being watched in there, but I think over living there for 20 something years, I mean, I think I just got used to it, but I never liked going there at night.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
I felt like something was. I felt like because it's full of glass windows, and I feel like something's looking at me through those windows.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and especially because it was like my hometown is kind of like, it's turning into more of a city. But when we were kids, it was the sticks, bro. It was the fucking sticks. So a lot of these places, the street lights don't like illuminate like they do out here. And it was fucking pitch black looking out that window. Like if you were looking out and someone was looking in, you couldn't see them. They could see you, but you can't see them.
Copy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember one day freaking... I heard something. My dogs wouldn't stop barking. So I went out, looked outside, and I see someone in the middle of the streets. I go get my like in the middle. Like there's one light, street light out there, and there's somebody standing directly in the middle of that. I go back, get my mom. Like, hey, there's somebody out there. And we go out there. No one's there anymore. See, now I forget all these things. Now I'm remembering them.
I'm bringing up traumatic memories, bro.
Happened. I remember when this happened, yeah.
Yeah, that sunroom used to creep me out. I never said anything because I wasn't trying to get made fun of, but whenever you were like, oh, let's just go get a soda from the freezer, the deep freeze in there, I was like, I'm suddenly not that thirsty. Yeah. And then Steve was like, I'm going to get one of those. Oh, bring one back, then. Just in case.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. We are at that point where we do need to wrap up here. So, back to positivity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start it off. I guess I'm positive that I am not dead by a ghost inside of some mental hospital.
Yeah, big positive.
No, I guess in all actualities, I guess I'm positive that I've never really had any experiences that have truly creeped me out. So like you guys say, I feel like that would be very traumatic, and it's not something I think I want to experience. So I got enough anxieties in this world.
You want to go last or you want to?
Hey, go next.
Yeah, I got two. I'm excited because I've been wanting to have my brother on for a minute.
Yeah.
So that's my positive. My other positive, it's not going to air, but by the time this airs, I'm going to be in Japan. So, you guys got to go to work.
No, weird flex, but okay, bro.
I'm just talking shit. But yeah, those are my two positives.
Okay.
You know, positive. You know, I'm a homeowner now. I've got a whole house this year, so I'm very thankful for that. That I have that. Yeah. I have a job that get me a house, and just positive. You know. I'm alive. Everything's good. Everything's going good for me right now.
Man, that's
happy. And yeah, training's going good. And yeah,
you know, you have any shout outs you want to throw out there? You want to, you know, talk to the ladies or what?
Man, shout out for my gym, Three Crosses, New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
Shout out Three Crosses.
Yeah, it's a come by. And you guys, anytime. Open mats 11 a.m. on every Saturday.
All right, we're going to be there one day.
That's an 11-hour drive for me, G. So,
hey, but if we leave, next week, we can make it.
I'll be in Japan.
We'll figure it out.
I'll send you the address. You go. You go. Tell me what it's like. Ask for Ben and Archie.
I'm not going without you, man. I need a safety net. Yeah.
Then you're going to have to deal with Devin, our little killer purple belt.
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, man, no. So this guy's like, he's like, 5'7", 140 pounds, and like we go out there all the time. I remember when Devontae visited, he comes up to Devontae and asks for a roll. It's like, you know, when a little guy asks you for a roll, you're the same rank. You know that guy's good.
Yeah,
yeah. He's actually speaking of him specifically, that he's a fucking problem, dude. He's a fucking problem. Yeah.
Okay,
great wrestler.
Ooh,
I'd say Rico level wrestler.
Really? Nice. Yeah,
he's a great fucking wrestler. He wrestled for years. It was a good role.
Okay.
His technique is just insane.
All right.
So,
yeah.
So that's it.
Pretty much wraps up our show. So we're gonna close out here, and then So Archie, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, and My Jiu-Jitsu, thank you guys for tapping in. As always, we're here, so we're not.
You know, like, comment, subscribe, and if you're looking for the smoke and you're in New Mexico, holler at look Archie. Up Archie.
Yeah, yeah.
Holler at Archie.
Fuck Jay. Jay's retired.
And if you're in California or like the western side of you know, America, whether it be Vegas, drive the 5 hours to Forge and ask for Jay, because he's looking for the smoke.
Jay's retired. He doesn't roll anymore. He quit. He tapped out.
It's reverse psychology. He's looking for you.
Yeah. I decided, you know, I haven't been promoted, so I'm going to quit like every other blue belt.
Don't you do it. Hey. He's lying.
Nah. I tap out, guys. The whole thing was I just started so I could start a podcast, and then I could quit and then keep the podcast going, you know?
I'm sending him to Rico, bro.
And then I'll explain why. And then the whole podcast will turn into why I quit jiu-jitsu and why my life is better as a fitness influencer.
This is my last episode on the podcast.
Man, well, we are out of here. Thank you, my jiu-jitsu. Archie, again, thank you. And as always, everyone stay blessed.